The president meets with CEOs today. Will it be frostier in the meeting room or out on the lawn?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, President Obama meets with some of the nation's CEOs. What'll it take to spur some job growth? But first, where's Wall Street? Markets are pretty much flat right now. The Dow up 11 points at 11,487. The NASDAQ down just a tiny bit, and the S&P 500 down less than 0.1%. We learned this morning that China is buying even more U.S. debt. As of October, the Chinese are holding about $900 billion worth. That's an 11-month high. Meanwhile, Time magazine has named its Person of the Year. It's a CEO who runs a website with about half the population of China, Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook. Now let's get to the CEOs who are meeting with President Obama. Dan Cook is senior market analyst at IG Markets. He's with us live from Chicago now to discuss. Hi, Dan.
Hello, Jeremy.
Well, let's listen to something the president said just moments ago.
I believe that the primary engine of America's economic success is not government. It's the ingenuity of America's entrepreneurs. It's the dynamism of our markets.
So, Dan, the president's making nice. Is there any reason to believe that we'll get some serious hiring after this meeting?
Well, I don't know that this meeting necessarily will be the impetus that drives the hiring, but I do think we have several factors that are coming together. The government's is there and is going to continue to support that type of environment, and we've seen the Fed make that commitment. I think when we look at the cash on the balance sheets of corporations, there's a lot of room for growth, and I think once we've gotten through some of this uncertainty, we could see a much more promising year next year.
Much more promising year. Now, Dan, we got an indicator this morning about the housing market. The price of getting a mortgage, the interest rate average, is going up. Is there any way the economy can really recover if the housing market is going to remain in the doldrums?
Well, we can recover, and I think what we're going to face is kind of a new reality, we'll call it, in that we're going to have to live with kind of a depressed housing market. But I do think we've seen some signs of stabilization. The big shocks are over, and we can have a little bit of room to grow up from here.
All right, Dan Cook of IG Markets in Chicago. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Well, this week, federal regulators are starting to write new rules for Wall Street as required by the financial reform law. Yesterday, the FDIC proposed some new banking rules, like one that requires banks to keep more cash on hand in case things head south. Marketplace's David Gurr reports now on the beginning of a long rulemaking process.
The Dodd-Frank law was passed this summer, and regulators have just a few months to shape the final rules. Rick Firestone is an attorney with McDermott, Will & Emery.
The rulemaking requirements that have been imposed under the Dodd-Frank Act are historical.
They're also unprecedented. The Securities and Exchange Commission alone has to hammer out nearly 100 regulations governing everything from derivatives trading to municipal bonds. Over the next few weeks, a bunch of agencies will look at debit card fees and new whistleblower provisions. Firestone says corporations have been dispensing advice liberally.
It makes for better rulemaking at the end of the day if those who are impacted by the law have expertise on the issues.
But with the GOP in charge of key House committees, regulators fear they may not get much funding. Attorney Steve Quinn-Liven is with the Leonard Street Law Firm. He says if that happens,
it's not going to be of much use in protecting the financial system.
In Washington, I'm David Gurra for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
What's the most typical town in America? Well, 10 years ago, Marketplace's David Brancaccio used census data to find out. It was a place called Cuba, Missouri. Well, David went back to Cuba to check in, and he's here with me in the studio in New York now to talk about it. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Why Cuba, Missouri?
Well, 10 years ago, the town was the statistical center of the U.S. population, and then some fresh data came in from the U.S. Census Bureau. It moved the center of population a little south and a little west. Here is Ray Mortimer, who's a postal delivery man and the current mayor of Cuba.
I think it's kind of middle of America. I really do. And I think we'd make a pretty good model because I think we are representative, yes.
So that's what he thinks. What did you find there?
Well, the town looks, I guess, spiffier. It's on old historic Route 66. They put up some murals as tourist attractions. But one economic planner told me that they didn't have irrational exuberance, right, during the good times. So not as far to fall these days.
Now, any place, David, that is claiming to be a typical American town right now would have to have pretty high unemployment, I would think.
Well, this is what the mayor told me about the effect of the recession.
No, we feel it. There's no doubt about it. We have to tighten our belt because we just can't be as lucrative as we were 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, they're not. Unemployment now, 10.3%. It is double what it was a decade ago, a little higher than national average, too.
A little higher than the national average, but still pretty typical, I would say. Is it typical in other ways?
Well, 26-minute commute time to work, that is same as the national average. Unfortunately, more children living below the poverty line there. Houses are cheap, like $70,000 is the typical house price, $119,000 nationally, by the way. It's very white, Cuba, 98% Caucasian.
What are the other competitors for most representative place in the country?
Well, if you use a measure of well-being that factors in health, education, and income, Cuba's congressional district is worse than average, but right in the middle for well-being, so therefore typical, might be Florida's 15th congressional district. That includes Cape Canaveral, which is, I don't know, it's not a typical location, but in terms of well-being, apparently that area fits the bill.
Marketplace's David Brancaccio. He's going to be doing more reporting from Cuba, Missouri, and we'll have details on our Economy 4.0 blog at marketplace.org. David, thanks.
My pleasure.
And finally, while we're talking about the new American economy, I was the victim of credit card fraud yesterday. Well, victim is a strong word. Someone tried to do a little holiday shopping online using my card number. I disputed the charges and they're off my bill. So then the bank told me they'd send me a new card in the next 2 weeks. I said, you know, I'd actually really like to use the card in the next 2 weeks to do some legal holiday shopping. Okay, the guy said, we'll send you a new card in the next 24 hours. Now, I'm not saying this means credit card companies are now even more desperate for us to spend, but I'm not saying it doesn't mean that either. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. Please don't steal my credit card number. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Think for a second about where Turkey sits on a map, and then figure out what happens if Europe gives them the cold shoulder.
We are a giant pipeline for human resources, for trade, for everything. It's like a bridge for accessing the Middle East.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Turkey turns east. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.